Amen. We were talking about that the night of the candlelight service, how good it would have been to have sang that night. And I told Sister Judy, I was like, I don't know the word. She said, it's pretty simple. But boy, that's a blessing. That's a blessing to hear that and to see that. A lot of truth and message in that right there. So I appreciate that. Let's start off with a word of prayer this morning. And we'll get into the message and just trusting that the Lord have His way and that He'd help us this morning the way that only that He can. And so we're trusting in Him this morning. Father, I just thank You so much for this day. Lord, just the privilege, the opportunity to be able to be here together. Lord, it's good to see those that were able to come out, Lord, and thankful for those listening in online, Lord. And God, we just pray today that You would speak to hearts. Help us, God. Help us to be focused on You and our minds and our hearts to be focused on You for a few minutes and really just take to heart what Your Word says. Like it's already been said, it's one thing to know it. It's another thing to do it, God. But the application is where the faith and the actual the outcome comes from, God, and we realize that. But Lord, today, God, I pray that You help me. Help me to say things the way You'd have me to, Lord. Help us in our church, God. Help each heart. I know there's many heavy hearts for so many different reasons, God. Decisions that need to be made and things, God, that are just weighing on people's minds and hearts. And Lord, I pray for them today. Lord, You know who they are and what they're facing. And God, I just pray that You be with each one of us, be with our lost, be with our families. God, thank You for those reaching out about potentially coming to be with us, Lord. Lord, we thank You for that. God, we just pray that Your will be done. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I had a fella reach out to me this week about maybe wanting to come and to attend with us, and I invited him to come on, and he said he had some questions. So just be in prayer for that this morning. I'm thankful for that. Again, like I said on Wednesday night, probably one of my number one goals this year is just to invite people to church, encourage people to come to church, and being a good Bible believing, preaching, teaching church, that's our lifeline. That's where our help comes from. And if we believe it that much, then we need to encourage it that much more. I believe that with all my heart. Brother David with Westside, he had mentioned about having his Christmas program again tonight at 6 p.m. I mentioned that on Wednesday. I have not spoken with him since, so I don't know that that's still going to be the case with the weather forecast being what it is. But I did want to make mention of that because I told him I would mention it. But I don't know that that'll be the case, that we will still have that. But if you will, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter number 6. Jeremiah chapter number 6, we'll look at verse 16. Was not my intent really to, I'm definitely not calling it a series or anything like that, but maybe to continue on today with where we were at on Wednesday. But this is where the Lord led my heart in looking at this verse. And I know we've heard it preached here many times. We've heard it said and preached and taught, and I don't really know that I've really preached on it so much myself independently or individually, but it really spoke to my heart the other night, and it really spoke to my heart yesterday in just thinking about some things here. Jeremiah 6:16, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. Ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we shall not walk therein." If you go back and you look over this just a little bit, what you'll find is the kind of the preference or the background of what's going on here in Israel or in Judah. I believe that's the northern kingdom there, the Judah portion of it, is judgment is coming to them. If you read the first five chapters of Jeremiah. We know Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. He had a burden for his nation because he saw the condition that the nation was in. And he had them on his heart. It was a burden that he had. And so the Lord was speaking to him. One thing about Jeremiah, he was a young fella, and he didn't think people were going to listen to him because of his age, that he was inexperienced and what have you. But the Lord was speaking to him. And so what he's saying here to Judah, the nation there, is that because of your sin, you're going to be judged. Impending judgment is coming. That's what the first chapters there. The first chapter, you see Jeremiah's call, but chapter 2 through 5, you see that judgment is coming to Judah. That's the common denominator there. You see that a lot in the Old Testament. You see when prophets come, it's not necessarily that it's going to be a time of revival, but it's a time of warning. It's like, hey, you're not living like you're supposed to be. You're not acting like you're supposed to be. You're not doing the things that is pleasing to God. So therefore, I'm sending a prophet to warn you that you need to change. And that's exactly what is taking place here. And you see in Jeremiah chapter number 6, then it takes a little step further and it says, this is the certainty of this judgment that's going to take place. That's what is being mentioned here just in that one verse in 6:16 is what he's talking about. Very common verse. You've probably heard that before. But what you see here is the actual remedy to the judgment that is to come. That is one of the things that you'll find all throughout God's Word is that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You'll see that there's a hinge, that this is what is going to take place unless changes are made. This is what's going to happen. It's just set in motion that way. If a person was to be born, go through his or her life, never accept Christ, the wages of sin is death. What does that mean? That means that person will die not accepting Jesus and will go to hell. That's exactly what it means. It's just very straightforward in talking about that. But you see, there is that reversible situation that is coming into play. That's the topic this morning, a reversible situation. I thank God for that. I thank God for that. There's times that we make mistakes in life or choices we make in life, they're not reversible. We're going to have to live with them forever and face those things, whatever the repercussion is. We have to face those things, and that's hard. Living with bad decisions is very hard. But I want you to see here, even though that there is a warning against sin or warning against the way that Judah is acting here, but then also it is a message of hope. Aren't you thankful for hope this morning? Man, I am. I tell you, as you get older, you start to have to go to the doctor more. Or that's my case, my situation, and what have you. Go, and then they want to do tests and run tests to make sure everything's okay with you and all that kind of stuff. And I'll be the first to admit, is it always like a real thing? Are you telling everybody to do this? Is this a money thing or is this you really care about me thing? I can be skeptical that way sometimes, but when doctors go in, they do your labs and all that kind of stuff, and they find things like, this is elevated a little bit, and this is lower a little bit, and what have you, so you might need to do this. This is indication that you need to do this. You need to make some changes. A lot of times when they tell you that, they want to take away the things that you enjoy in life most. I like sweets from time to time, maybe more often than not. But I tell you, when the doctor tells you, if this, then this, then you have a choice to make. Yeah, that's simple, isn't it? That is so simple. Likewise, if Jesus and His Word says, if this, then this, it's the same scenario. A lot of times it's like, I don't know if we really take it to heart or take it serious or something or not, but I think sometimes people have a tendency just to kind of just keep doing what they've always done and then maybe expect maybe a different result or an outcome. You know what that's the definition of? Insanity. That's the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over and thinking that you're going to get a different outcome. That's exactly what happens a lot of times. I think in human nature's that way. We get comfortable. Sunday school was a super segue into the message this morning. We kind of get comfortable in things and thinking that it's just doing the same thing over and over, or being traditional about things and just riding out and see what's happening, or what's going to happen. But I think that many, even here in the church, are seeking the Lord and they're seeking certain things from Him. But if we're doing the same things over and over and we're not getting any results, I want to say this morning, it's not Him. It's me. It's you. I think the Lord is looking at things for us, looking at us, and I think He's showing us or wanting to show us things by touching our hearts and trying to encourage us to do some things differently. I shared this on Wednesday night, wanted to share it again this morning because I think it really resonated with a lot of people. And it's a post that I read and I thought it was very good, but it says this. It says, remember, the secret is there is no secret. Consistency over intensity, progress over perfections, fundamentals over fads, and over again. That's what the Christian life really is all about. Not trying to stir something new up or what have you. Now, that's not to say that if you're on the wrong path that you don't need to get on a new path. That could very well be the case, but I tell you, if you're here this morning and you're a Christian and you ever got on the right path, then you just need to stay with it and not fall off of it. I think as time goes on, people lose interest. People, for whatever reason, I don't know if they get bored with it or whatever, and then all of a sudden they find themselves cold and maybe isolated or off to the side somewhere. But in all reality, what did you think was going to happen? If you don't stay in the path, you don't stay where the Lord wants you to be, what did you think was going to happen? What did I think was going to happen? You know, it's one of the things that I find very interesting is going to the doctors. You know, they have scales with things, like scales on a scale of 1 to 5, a scale of 1 to 4, what have you. You're right here about a 2, right in the middle. This is where you're at. And you know, one of the things that is kind of worrisome about that is you can fall to either side if you're in that situation. If you're standing on the fence, you can be one way or the other. But you know, if you're in a place where you're going to the doctor, they're talking to you and they're talking to you about things and what have you, based on your results, our findings, then I tell you what, if you make these changes, your situation is reversible. Who would not take up a doctor on that kind of offering? Who would not take a doctor up? So you tell me I still have hope. You tell me I still have a chance to get away from the worst repercussions of this, but I could actually find it reversible and be okay. Yes, that's what I'm telling you, but you got to do a few things to get there. Isn't that a good offering? It's an offering of hope. See, that's what happened here with Judah. That's what was going on here with them. I use a physical example. I think a lot of people maybe can identify with that. But also, I want us to see, more importantly, the spiritual example of what this is talking about. You know, in our bodies, unless a doctor does some kind of test, examinations, we really don't know what's going on in there. We don't know. You don't know. Sometimes you might feel good. Sometimes you might feel bad, but you don't know. Something feels off. I don't know what it is. Maybe I need to go to the doctor. Doctor runs their results, and then they say, this is your problem, this is what you need to do, it's reversible. Then you have the choice. You have the choice to either do that or not. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing, when you look at it on your spiritual side of life, if you're a Christian, I'm talking to Christians this morning, if you are saved and you're not getting the right diet, or if you're not in the right fellowship with God, you're going to know it. You're going to know it. There's going to be signs. Things are going to feel off. Things are not going to feel right. And the Lord is going to feel distant. Maybe fellowship with your brothers and sisters is going to feel distant. And the first question you're going to ask is, Lord, what do I need to do? Should be. Lord, is it me? Lord, what do I need to do? And you know, when the Holy Spirit comes in, when He starts doing His examination, He is going to point things out to you. He's going to say, you need to remove this. You don't need this in your life anymore. And I tell you what, you need a whole lot more of this, this, and this. You see, when you have that there, when you have it laid out like that, then it's like, you know what, all of a sudden, the ball's back in your court. The choice is yours again. Brother Finley, you said it perfect. He said, knowing it and doing it are two different things. I wouldn't say there's not one person in here that doesn't know, for the most part, what they need to be doing. You think about in your Christian life, again, talking to Christians, I think for the most part, you pretty well know what you should be doing, but are you doing it? Am I doing it? That's the question. And you see, I want to use this text this morning to talk about this, and knowing it, doing it's two different things, but people try to move forward sometimes not doing the things, just hoping things are going to change. I think we think in our minds sometimes, well, if I think it enough, I can will it to happen. That's not what the body says. Brother Tim, I tell you, my body can tell me, or my mind can tell me, hey, you watch those football games and basketball games on Saturday and say, man, I can still do that. My body says, no, you can't. No, you can't. You can try it if you want to, but I'll prove you wrong. No, you can't. I tell you, it's amazing what makes me sore and fatigued anymore. Me and Brandy will talk about that maybe on a Sunday morning or after a Saturday where we've done a few things. Brandy say, my shoulders are sore. My arms are sore. Like, what'd you do? I don't know. I folded clothes yesterday. That's probably it. That's probably it. Welcome to your late 40s. That's kind of how it is, you know. But you see, some things are reversible, and I'm thankful for that. This is a reversible situation. Jeremiah 6:16 again, we have about five things that are mentioned here. It says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways. That's what he's talking about first and foremost. Stand ye in the ways. He's saying, this is what you're supposed to do. So I think about the ways. And again, this morning, Galatians 3, talking about this, Galatians 3:11, Brother Raymond was bringing this out about how it's not by works, it's by faith, and it's always been that way. It's always been that way. The law was there to show us the expectation. But faith is there, so we have a way of salvation. That's the difference. I want to tell you this morning. Outside of Jesus Christ, nobody fulfilled the law. Nobody. So don't think that in the Old Testament, when they're talking about things, is that you had to fulfill the law or you went to hell. Everybody would have went to hell. It's literally that simple. Nobody can fulfill it. Again, that's why Jesus Christ had to go to the cross to die for our salvation. That's not what we're talking about here. If you're saying, stand ye in the ways, is that saying, stand ye in the law? No, it can't be that. So what does it mean? One of the things I looked at this morning or yesterday in looking at this and studying, I think it means to stand in the gospel. To stand in the commandments that Jesus Christ himself gave to us. John 13:34. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. The commandment that he gave, the new commandment that he gave to override or to go aside from what the law said is to love one another. How simplistic is that? And okay, you say, well, I'm supposed to love my brothers and sisters. Is that all there is to it? Well, there's a lot that comes with love in my book. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, we have the Word of God in black and white that shows us what the expectation is, Old Testament, New Testament. Even more importantly than that, we had Jesus Christ himself come to this earth and show us. He's the example. You know, it is. It's easy for the most part, right? To love your brothers and your sisters. You can pick on them, but nobody else can. I know what that's like. But you know, the thing about it is, it's easy to love one another and take care of one another when you're in fellowship with one another. But what about your enemies? What about those that you're in enmity with? Those you don't get along with? They're a little bit harder to love, aren't they? But the Bible says, the Lord himself said, you're supposed to love them too. You're supposed to take care of them too. When you talk about walking in the ways, preacher, what do you mean walking in the ways? Walking in the ways of Jesus Christ is what I see. You see, you read back here in Jeremiah, this was before the time of Christ. Well, this is the dispensation that we live in. What ways could we walk in? What's the expectation? Lord, expect us to walk in the law? Absolutely not. We can't fulfill it, but we can follow his footsteps. He does intend for us to do that. Taking care of each other, encouraging one another, loving on one another, and making sure that people have what they need. I believe that is the biblical example that we have for our day of standing in the ways and taking care of one another. I've seen a lot of that over the last few weeks and months, looking back in the fall. What a blessing and encouragement that's been. You see how that changes the face of a community, taking care of each other in light of a horrible situation, one of the worst probably we've seen in this area. But look how many good things have come out of that, encouraging things. That people can actually still be good to each other. And not just pick and choose, but take care of everybody. Find somebody and be good to them. You know, that's what the Lord did along his way. He didn't look just for Jewish people to take care of. He looked for everybody that he could take care of. Again, he is a whosoever person. He says this here. It says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. You know, you look back, the evil generation, it's talking about the Jewish people at that time, but it talked about an evil generation seeking after a sign. People want to see things. I want to see it. Thomas, you remember him? He said, I'll believe it when I see it. There's a lot of skeptics out there. I believe what you're saying when I can see it. I'll believe it then, but until then, I'm not going to believe it. I've talked to people about living a Christian life, people who profess to be Christians, asking for Christian advice on life. And one of the first things I tell them, get back in church. Most often, they're not even in church. You say, well, you know, that's simple, but yeah, but it's simple, but overlooked many times. Get back in church, get back in fellowship with God. A lot of times people aren't willing to do that. They're not willing to repent and get right with God. How can you have fellowship without that? You can't. If you and I are arguing and bickering over things, we're not going to be in fellowship like we're supposed to be until we settle that thing. That's just how it is. That's the way it's set up. It's no different with God. If we're enmity with Him, arguing over things with Him in our mind and holding aught against Him, then you're not going to have the fellowship that you're supposed to have. What He's saying here, stand in the ways, number one, you get where you're supposed to be with God. I know we can't always be where we're supposed to be with people and things, but I believe if we, again, stand in the ways that the Lord has given us of forgiveness and forbearance with one another, again, the fruit of the Spirit, then that's all we can do. That's what the Lord asked for us to do. He says, stand in these ways. He said, stay in these ways. That's what it's talking about. Again, abide in these ways. Stay in these ways and see. I liken this to the time where if you go out and you know you're going to start a diet or whatever and you eat that first salad and then you eat that salad and you excitedly go up to the scales and you step on it and you haven't lost any weight yet. My goodness, I did exactly what they said and I have nothing to show for it. That's what the average Christian does. I went to church Sunday and he didn't do anything for me. A lot of that, you know, it takes some time. How committed are you? A lot of times with people, whatever it is, at work, dietary, church-wise, a lot of times if people do not see immediate results, they lose interest. Their heart's not really in it. And they just give it all up. There's no consistency. You see what he's saying here? He's saying, stand in the way, stay here with me a while, then you'll see. You got to give me some time. See, a lot of these things, I think, there's been several things in the past that seem like they kind of progress quickly. It seems like this storm and different things are progressing very slowly. And you say, boy, it works on my patience. Well, maybe so, but I think the Lord is trying to work on our hearts. He's wanting us to see things in a different light and saying, hey, some of these things take time. He's saying, stay with me, then you'll see. Stay in church, and you'll see. I believe that. If a person starts attending church, if a Christian attends church like they're supposed to and start getting their hearts right, that's part of the ingredients. That's what some of the spiritual ingredients that you're supposed to have. And it makes a difference in our life. It's not just about being here, but it's about what you gain while you're here. You know, there's some things out there that you're supposed to stay away from, but there's some things you're supposed to take in, vitamins. Certain foods and certain things like that. And you're supposed to have a variety of those things. And when you bring those in, you know what happens, Brother Terry? That becomes part of you. You ingest it, you digest it, and it becomes part of you. You start taking in those supplements. You start taking those things in. And what I have read, that it's better to get those supplements from a variety of foods than to try to take one kind of vitamin. It's different how the body breaks it down and digests it. You know, you can say, well, you know, I listened to the Bible app this morning, and that counts for something. Well, you can take that little vitamin if you want to, but if you come to church, surround yourself by God's people and around a variety of God's people and around a variety of God's Word, I dare say it'll help you more. I think it'll help you a lot more. That's, again, that's how we grow. That's how we gain. There's so much that we can compare as far as our physical side to our spiritual side of life. There's so much that you can see there. And he says, stand ye in the ways and see. But one of the things that it says here, it says, number three, let me read this again. It says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, number one, two, and see. Number three, ask for the old paths. You know, I used this a little bit on Wednesday night, being first service of the new year, this being the first Sunday of the new year. I think people have resolutions and things they want to change or things that they want to see. And so most often it's, tell me something new. One of the things I read to you there a minute ago, it says fundamentals over fads. You can find all kinds of fads. You can go online now, and I guarantee you there'll be probably a new diet today that wasn't here in 2024. Something new. A lot of times what you find, it's a money grab or something like that, trying to get your money versus something that's actually new. What's interesting here that I find in God's word that Jeremiah, the Lord gave Jeremiah here, is he's saying, just keep doing, do it the old way. See what happens? People start trying to do things the new way. Let's try something new. I told Brandy, I want to invite people to church. People maybe that don't come, or maybe people that are looking for a new church or whatever. I said, but we're not going to offer any new thing. Oh, really? Well, what new thing could I offer you? I've said this before. I've had people ask me, say, well, what do you offer? What do you offer the young people at your church? The same thing that we offer everybody else, the Word of God. That's what the old path is. If I get you in here over something that's not truly centered around God's Word, guess what? I've not helped you a bit. I've not helped you at all. We as a church have not helped anybody at all. It's fake. It's not about filling pews just to be filling pews. It's about inviting people to church so they can actually get what they need when they get here. That's simple, isn't it? There's no secret to that. The secret is, there's no secret, but I was thinking about the old paths. And what does that mean? When you say ask for the old paths, are you saying the law? I'm not. I'm not saying the law. Psalms 37, I want to read these two verses to you here because it's something that really, when I think about the old paths and what it's talking about here, not walking in a new path, we don't have to. The Lord has already created a path for us. It says here, again, Psalm 37, 23, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. He's saying here, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I believe with all my heart, if a person, it says a good man, I believe it means, my interpretation, that means somebody that is wanting to follow the Lord, somebody that's wanting to be Christ-like, somebody that's wanting to stand in the ways. If they choose to follow the Lord, he'll direct their paths. I believe that's the old path. It don't have to be a new path. You know, you get out in the field somewhere, I'll be honest with you, several times been out taking photographs in some places, and if you're not careful, you'll fall off in a hole if you go off on your own. You have weeds probably waist high or taller, and you just start walking out there blindly, and you step off in a hole and twist your ankle or something. Whose fault is that? That's yours. You went rogue. You went out on your own. But you know, it's something when I go to these places and you see a nice mowed path. And all you got to do is walk right down it. It's an old path. Somebody else put it there. It's already there. And all you have to do is walk and you can kind of see. You can see what is going on. Now I'll tell you this. That doesn't mean that there's not thorns hanging off the sides. That doesn't mean that there's not snakes and bees nests and other things that you can run into. Absolutely can. But I'd rather run into those things being able to see them versus not. You see, that's the difference in walking in the old paths. When the Lord gives you your steps, even things that don't make sense to you, paths that you're going down, said, Lord, this path makes no sense to me. It might be for nothing more than to help somebody else. I've seen him order things like that. I've seen people that needed help, and I've needed help myself, and then run into somebody seemingly out of nowhere, Brother Rodney, out of nowhere, and run right into them, and they have the part that you need. That's how the Lord works. That's how He is. You see, He's got a way of bringing these things together. And He says, these, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. You can be happy in that path. There's something beautiful and comforting to know when you're right with the Lord. Even though if things aren't right, maybe with things at work or things with family or other situations in your life, there is an absolute peace in knowing that you're right with God. You know, the Bible says that that the Lord can even make those your enemies at peace with you if you're right with Him. It's amazing how He can bring these things together and work, but that's how He is. And it says, and though He fall, we mess up, we're going to make mistakes. But what it says here, though He fall, He shall not be utterly cast down. The Lord's going to pick Him back up. If you're walking on the path that the Lord has you on and you stumble and fall, He's going to pick you up. He's not just going to leave you there. That's what the Word of God says. For the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. He's going to pick you right back up and say, okay, now let's keep going. Let's keep going. Progress over perfection. You see a lot of these things here. Consistency over intensity. I think the Lord, for being able to see that, you see here again the old paths. Where is the good way? It's the good way. Some people might not believe that, want to try this and try that, but the old path is the good way. It's tried and true. You think about your salvation, where it comes from. It comes from the Lord, right? How'd you hear about it? That path has been passed on generation by generation by generation by generation. You know, the same way you look back in the Bible, the same way these people accepted Christ is the same way you and I accept Christ. There's no Jew. There's no Gentile. We're just one under Christ. It's the same way. The common salvation is what the Bible calls it. Isn't that something? The old path is just fine. It works just fine. But it says here again, as for the old paths, where is the good way? And again it says, and walk therein, one step at a time. I think that's where we lose people. A lot of times, I say we, but I think that's where people decide not to go. They walk down this path and want to see something new, want to see progress faster than what it's coming. But what he's saying, just walk in it. Walk in it. Walk in it. I've seen people try to climb the ladder so fast that they burn out before they get there. It's kind of like the tortoise and the hare. You see that hare, boy, he takes off and he runs. He's sprinting this thing and he's running this thing out like it's a sprint. But actually, life is like a marathon. It's more of an endurance. It's something that you do day by day by day, just consistently. We don't have to hit a home run every time. It's nice just to get on first base, amen? I tell you, a lot of times people, we don't even get there. Just swinging and swinging and swinging. Then you go back to the bench. That's no place to be. That's not what the Lord intended for us. He's saying to walk in your paths. And I'm going to close with this here. It says, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Matthew 11. Matthew 11, chapter number, or verses 28 and 29. It says right here, talking about the Lord, finding rest in Him. I know this world keeps our minds occupied, trying to figure out what's going on next. This has probably been one of the most unique end of year times that I've ever experienced. Brandy said yesterday, she said, how many times have you heard this is a once in a lifetime event in our lifetime? I'm like, it's something about every year. Especially if you go back to 2020 to now, it's about something every year that's, this ain't expected for another 1,000 years. Probably won't ever see this again, maybe not, but you can't guarantee that. But you think about all those things and all these things occupy the mind and trying to stay ahead of the game, trying to be prepared. That's one of the things I look at. And boy, you can do a lot of work and being prepared for something, then somebody else, something else blindsides you and just kind of wipe all that away. Beautiful thing about it is the Lord knows what comes next. If you're with Him, you're in a good place. You've got protection. I want you to know that this morning. I don't want you to ever lose confidence in that. If we step away from Him, we're kind of on our own. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. But if you stay with Him, you're in a good place. You're protected. Matthew chapter number 11, verse 28, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I," Jesus himself, "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." He wants to give us rest. He wants to give us peace. When you're walking with the Lord, even though things around you are not where you'd like for them to be sometimes, but you know, if you're walking in fellowship with the Lord, you actually have some rest. Just having a clean conscience before God is worth so much. Just being able to walk with Him. You see these things here. Let's remember the scale. I'm closing with this. You remember the scale. Scale 1 to 4, we got you on a 2. It's up to you. You can go either way. Keep doing exactly what you've always done, and you'll see what happens. It'll happen. You've seen what got you here in the situation you're in. But if you're willing to change and you're willing to make these changes in your life, then you can see the improvements. This is one of the saddest things that I've read. If you go back, I'm going to close out here in Jeremiah. You see, everything that was given, everything that was laid out, he's saying, "Thus saith the Lord." The Lord was talking to Judah. Talking to Jeremiah to talk to Judah, to say to Judah, "Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Well, wouldn't it be neat if that's where it stopped? Very seldom does it stop there with people. It doesn't. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to you. You see how the nation of Israel was here, Judah was here. But this is what they said in their heart. But they said, "We will not walk therein." We're not going to do it. You say, "Oh, that just doesn't make any sense. That just makes no sense." They know. They've seen God's judgment. They've seen God's mercy. They've seen how He is, and the warning has been given out to them. And then now they give this choice. Why did they not, like Nineveh, say, "I repent"? Stubborn, hard-headed, prideful, fill in the blank. Why do people today not take the Lord up on that offering? Why do they not? They say, "We won't." I think one of the number one things that we see in this day and time is people are not willing to repent of their sins and just simply do business with God. One of the things in reading this and some commentary that I saw over this is Reformation versus revival. I think sometimes people in their own minds are happy, again, Brother Raymond talking about the law, people are happy to try to twist God's word into making it say something that it doesn't, trying to take advantage of God's mercy when they shouldn't. God has a deadline for everybody. But I think sometimes people try to put themselves on a scale of things and say, "Well, you know, I'm not as good as I want to be, but I'm not as bad as I was," and they have a mind of reformation. I'll tell you this, if you choose reformation, you will never, never have revival. It won't come. One thing about it is the hard, cold facts that I've learned in life, when you're talking about your health or when you're talking about your spiritual health, either you do it or you don't. There's no faking it. Either you make those changes and you reap the benefit, or you don't and you reap the consequences. That's how it is. If you will, stand with me this morning. I'll ask the ladies to come. What you see here in God's